To be we failed at announcement time to announce a special day for a couple of special ladies. We just want to give them a hand. We want Sister Renee Strand, who's our CIP director, as well as Sister Janine Calhoun. Ladies, stand up. It's their birthdays today. Birthday girls. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you would stand with me, we're excited to. It's a very, very special weekend. We conspired with Pastor Roy, and he graciously offered to extend an invitation to my folks to come up this weekend with some ulterior motives. We surprised them yesterday with a retirement celebration, and they were completely surprised, which is amazing because they are detectives and investigators, nosy basically. But we've surprised them completely, had no clue, and we appreciate our church, those who helped yesterday set up and tear down, and all of you folks for, you know, 42 years ago, my folks started missionary work, and it was 1985, this year, that they visited Calvary Gospel Church. Exactly 30 years ago this year, we started supporting you, well, us started supporting me, my folks, something. We started supporting the Demases 30 years ago this year as a church, and we have been faithful with that. Give ourselves a hand. We appreciate you. I appreciate something. I'm so confused. Amen. But this is a mighty couple in the Lord. We heard from Brother Obaro, a son in the gospel. There's pastors. He's just one of probably 30, 40, 50 pastors all across this world, the Philippines, I've mentioned this before, that have come out of their ministry and their mentoring, and they have just done a work. And yeah, they're retiring, but it's not over. They've been ministering all up from Florida. As they drove, they stopped and ministered. They preached in West Bend last week. They're preaching in Wausau and then Minnesota and then driving back and stopping in Indiana. And they're going to continue on ministering. They can just relax, though, and take it easy and not have a schedule. They can make their own schedule. And they have so much more to give. And we are excited and blessed to have my folks, not just because they're my folks, but they will minister. And we're excited to have my dad come at this time. Let's give it up for Alan Demas, the first.
All right, use that one. Okay. Thank you, Brother Philip. Do we have any power? You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Demas. Thank you, Pastor Grant. Thank you, Bishop Grant. Thank you, Calvary Gospel. And though for those of you who do not know my better half, she's a lovely lady over there with all the silver hair that I gave her. Praise God. And I didn't say today. I don't know if I said it yesterday, but while I was running the roads for Jesus in Athens and then Germany, she was raising our three children, and I give her and the Lord all the credit for what they have done to raise our kids, and we thank God for that. And we thank God for wonderful churches in our church fellowship where our children have attended and ministered, currently here for Phil and Calvary Gospel, for Joel in Tampa, Florida, after helping his father-in-law start a church in West Minneapolis that is going on very successfully. And this church helps support the Metro Missions Program for David Kent and his wife Sue. And then our daughter Laura, after being at the Bible College in Stockton for many years, is now music pastor in Goodlettsville, UPC. And God is blessing that church through her ministry, and that church is growing as well. And I'm just glad that I'm part of the family of God. I'm glad that I'm part of the kingdom. Praise God. But you know, sometimes it's good to know where we come from. I got interested in that because I'm kind of a natural history buff and studied in college, so I've done some research about my family. And first, when we went to Greece, it was easy to find out about my Greek relatives because there they were. So there's the house that my grandpa was born in and his brothers and sisters were born in. And there's, you know, cousin George and uncles and aunts and cousins and so forth. But spiritually, we have history as well. And I knew that my wife, 100% German, came from Marshfield, Wisconsin. I knew that her grandparents came from Germany. I knew her parents in the Lord, Samuel and Sadie Hart, who both ministered the gospel. But I didn't know the rest of the story until their son John discovered it and, with help from my wife, wrote a book called The Church at Auroraville. And from a little town in east central Wisconsin, this state has been impacted. It came to Clintonville, to Medford, to other locations. It came to Marshfield under the ministry of the Harts, and my wife came into the Lord there. And so we thank God for our heritage that has brought us this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. We have these books available in the hallway if anybody is interested. My wife also has some cards with tremendous photographs, almost primarily from Europe, 100%. This is a big gingerbread fella waiting for you to buy, gingerbread star, and other things out there from different countries in Europe. So see us after the service, and we'll be glad to show you those items and be a blessing to you in the kingdom. This morning, we spoke to many of you, and I see a good number of you back again tonight. I thank you very much, not for my sake, but for the Lord's sake, for your own sake. And I see other folks tonight, and we're thrilled about that. And this morning, we spoke about the pearl of great price. And we found out that you can seek the treasure that is hid, or you can look for a pearl like you've never seen before. And some people seek intentionally. Other people find accidentally. But if somebody drives by this wonderful church on Commercial Avenue and feels drawn by the Holy Ghost to come in, it's not just by chance. It's because people here are praying for God to send in hungry hearts and people who are needy. Praise God. And tonight we want to continue our gemologist studies a little bit, amen, by turning to Matthew chapter 6 and go on from there. And we're going to do it with a little bit different standpoint. Once we've found the treasure, once we've bought the pearl of great price, especially as we address ourselves to many of the saints and those of you who are mature in the Lord, then we have a responsibility. Amen. So Matthew 6, verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In verse 24, "No man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon." Let me say that again. You cannot serve God and money equally, simultaneously. Now, if you don't know how to use money, then you need to come on Wednesday night for the class that's going to be about it, right? And when you come into the kingdom of God, once you are saved, then you want to be a servant. Once you're a servant, then you want to be a steward. And you want to be a steward of that which God has given you. Amen. And so we use finance, we use money, but we're not serving it. It's serving us. It's helping us in our homes and in the kingdom of God. And then in verse 31 to 33, don't think about what you're going to eat or drink or clothe. Gentiles, they're all thinking about that. They're going to the mall worried about that. But y'all. Everybody, verse 33, you seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It doesn't stop just getting inside the door. Let's go all the way into the holy place. Amen. And God will add all these things unto you. Praise God. Can we say amen? Now, pearl is found in the Bible only about 9 times. But we have 360 references in the King James Version to gold. We have 412 references in the NIV to gold. We have about 282 references to silver, 23 references to jewels, and I don't know how many to treasure. So the Bible talks about mammon and talks about some of these things, and we can learn about them. Amen. So Jesus is talking here about different types of treasure. Amen. Earthly, heavenly, temporal, eternal. Treasures of the body, treasures of the heart, material, immaterial, fleshly or carnal, and spiritual, human treasures and divine treasures. And if we obtain those treasures, whether natural or spiritual, and particularly for us tonight, spiritual, we have to learn how to be stewards of those treasures. We have to recognize the value, and we have to, the title of my message tonight, guard the treasures. We have to guard the treasures. Many of you in this assembly tonight have children or grandchildren. And when those children are small, we don't just take them and say, now here's a nice big boulevard, little child, 2 or 3 years old. Why don't you see if you could run across this big 4-lane boulevard? I don't think so. You take that child by the hand. Amen. Little Joy is 7. I'm not going to let her go across University Avenue downtown all by herself. Now, she's 17, okay. She's 12 and I'm next to her. I won't take her hand. She's okay. Amen. Because we are saying these children are treasures. We want to protect them. We want to guard them. Amen. We want to recognize their value. And we are stewards or parents or fathers or brothers or sisters, aunts or uncles, to guard the treasures that God has given us in the family. Amen. Jesus speaks in Matthew 19 about treasures in heaven. There was a man who came to him and said, what good thing can I do to get eternal life? Some people think that today. They think that if they give to God, or if they count rosary beads, or if they give philanthropy to the poor, it will get them into heaven. I'm sorry, but Jesus did not just say a good thing to do. He said, about the commandments. The man says, oh, I've done that. Well, that's good. And a young man says, I've been doing that since I've been youth. I've had a mom and dad. They took me to the synagogue. I learned the Ten Commandments, and I've been doing all those things. And Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, meaning if you want to be mature, if you want to be where you ought to be, now, this is not a law for everybody in the church. Don't get stunned. Jesus only said it once to one person. He said, go and sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you've lost everything? No. If you give it to the poor, if you give up what you've got, you have treasure in heaven. But that's not the end of the story. And come and follow me. That's not the end of the story, because Luke adds, come, take up your cross and follow. Because Jesus' goal is not to take our finance from us. Jesus' goal is to help us understand what the real treasures are and to realize that we're not going to be tied down by earthly mammon, by earthly things, but we are going to recognize that we have found a pearl of great price. We have found a treasure in Jesus Christ. We recognize the value of the Word of God. We recognize the value of the church. Praise God. Why do we give offerings to the church? Why do we give tithing to the church? Because we say, this is my family. This is of value. Praise God. This has blessed me. And so now I want to bless it. It's rare that a church would give money to a missionary to help the missionary on the field, and then the missionary kid comes back to the church and begins to give tithes and offering to the church. But it's happened right here. But I'll tell you, if you give to the Lord, now if Jesus would honor giving to the poor, how much more is he going to honor when you give to the Lord? And yet if we look at the whole panorama of Scripture, the greatest thing is not giving your mammon, not giving your finance, not giving your grain tithe from the grain barn. It's giving yourself. You are your own treasure, and you give yourself to the Lord. The Bible is very clear to give us a difference between true and false treasures. Solomon was the richest man of his day. Amen. And yet he was also a very wise man as well as a rich man. And he says, if you seek her as silver and you search for her as for hid treasures, then you will be blessed in Proverbs. And before we get to Ecclesiastes, he also says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness deliver from death. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Think of Al Capone. He had lots of money down in Chicago, but he also had problems with the feds. So having money doesn't solve all your problems. Amen. Amen. In the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is vanity, tossed to and fro of them that seek death. And then let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, and see what Solomon said there in the book of Ecclesiastes, or the preacher, der Prediger auf Deutsch. He says in chapter 2, verse 8, I gathered me, personal life testimony here, I gathered silver, gold, peculiar treasure of kingdom provinces. These other guys gave it to the kingdom. I had singers and women singers, delights of men. I had musical instruments, all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all. He was the head honcho of Palestine. Amen. My wisdom remained with me in spite of all that money, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart. I could do whatever I want, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. This is the portion of my labor. And then verse 11, I looked on the works of my hands. I looked at my labor. I looked at my money. I looked at all that I had, and it was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit. So money by itself is not the answer. But if God gives us whatever, we have to guard it. Whether you have little, whether you have a lot, God wants you to learn to be a steward. I was the Sunday school kid 60 years ago that when my aunt taught us in Sunday school about tithing, she said, you get $1 and then you give one thin silver dime to the Lord. And I said to the whole class, don't learn me that. But if you learn to give a dime from a dollar, or a dollar from 10, or 10 from 100, then someday it's easy to give 100 from 1,000 because you've learned the secret and you realize the treasure is not in what you have, but the treasure is what you are investing in the kingdom of God. Sister Brown told you about the Bible school students. It was 30 years ago, not quite, that Louis Abaro from Nigeria, who stood here today, was in our 1 year of Bible college ministry every Saturday in Athens, Greece. It was that very same time that his wife Margaret, not married yet, was coming to class every Saturday, 3 hours on Saturday, and people invested in the kingdom of God through young people from different nationalities, and today they are working for God. God wants you to have a treasure. treasure. He wants you to be stewards of the treasure. And then he wants you to guard the treasure that he gives us. In Luke chapter 6, verse 43 and 44, amen, we read there that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth that which is good. Amen. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And then in verse 45, that's just what I referred to. Amen. Go back to verse 44 if you would for a second. Because in verse 43 and 44, it's talking about the tree. It's talking about the fruit. Good fruit, bad fruit, bramble, and so forth. And then in verse 45, it's talking about coming out from the heart and bringing forth goodness and not evil. Praise God. That's what the Lord has in store for us and in mind for us. In the Old Testament, there were treasures in the house of God. In fact, they had offerings in the Old Testament before they had a tabernacle. They had to take offerings, Brother Grant, amen, so they could build the tabernacle. Where did they get that from? These folks were poor slaves down in Egypt. They said to the Egyptians, we need to go worship God. And notice this, if you would, read it on your own. When they worshiped God, they said, we need to borrow your jewelry to worship God. What does that mean? It means the Egyptians were conjuncting the jewelry and the worship to Egyptian gods. And so the poor Israelite slave says, we need to borrow some of your stuff because we're going to go out to worship God. Now, no, Israel did not steal from the Egyptians. They just got back pay because they hadn't got paid by those Egyptians for 400 years. And so God says, it's time for my children to have some back pay. And so they're going to borrow from the Egyptians, but they're going to go out into the wilderness and they're not going to build. Well, he's not supposed to build a golden calf. They're going to use those jewels. They're going to use those things to build the house of God. But as I alluded, sometimes we are tempted to build our golden calves instead of God's glorious temple. We've got to know, why has God blessed us? Oh, Calvary Gospel, you have been so foolish because you have given to the work of God so abundantly in the last few months. No, no, no. Because as you give to the Lord, and as this church gives to the Lord, God is never a debtor. God is never a debtor. And I won't tell you the times that God has proven it to me. And so they brought their offering. They brought it to the Lord. And what was left over after they got the golden candlestick and the golden table of showbread and all of the vessels and the brass laver of water and the gold there on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, all that was left over, that became treasures in the house of God, amen, that continued for many of years, praise God. In fact, in Exodus 35, verse 21, it says, they came, everyone whose heart was stirred, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. In other words, as we've heard already, God loves a cheerful giver, and the people gave because their heart was stirred, not because they looked at what's in my pocketbook or what's in my checking account. Their heart was stirred. And then they gave proportionally, praise God. In 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 51, after David had collected all of the items for the temple which would be built, Moses built the tabernacle, Solomon built the temple that David got the instructions for. Amen. So it says there, so was ended the work, 1 Kings 7:51, all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels. And what did he do? He put them among the treasures of the house of the Lord. You looked at your neighbor tonight, according to the instruction of Pastor Roy Grant. He told you, your neighbor is unique. First Peter tells us your neighbor is a peculiar person. That doesn't mean they're a strange person. If you want strange people in America, I have read that the most unique strange people in all of America come from the city where I was born. St. Paul, Minnesota. Now, I don't know if it's because they're Irish there, or Polish there, or some Norwegians there. I'm not sure. But what peculiar means is not funny or strange. It means precious. It means costly. And in this assembly tonight, it's not just what you gave to the building fund. It's not what you gave to tithes and offerings. It's not what you gave to the gifts. Amen. The treasures tonight are sitting next to you, left and right. They're in front of you. They're behind you. When you look at those little children, they may not understand everything I am saying, but something can be conveyed in the spirit, because I was there 60 years ago and I felt the touch of God. I remember when my pastor came to about the third or fourth row over on the left side as you were looking towards the front, and he had a couple Bible school students, and they prayed for me. I felt the touch of God. Amen. He saw in my small childhood frame the possibility to do something for God and be something for God. We're surrounded by treasures here tonight. And if your life has seemed worthless, if your life has seemed like it hasn't accomplished much, God's not done with you. And God wants to take you off the scrap heap of this life and make you a treasure in his kingdom. See, that's one of the beauties of missionaries on deputation. We meet so many people. And sometimes I ask them, how'd you get here from there? Sometimes I ask the pastor, how'd you become pastor of the church? And they start back on the junk heap. They start back when they were just wasted metal. And they tell how somebody found them. Somebody invited them to House of God. Somebody brought them to Sunday school. Somebody said, God loves you. Somebody said, you're important in the kingdom of God. Somebody said, God's got a better way for you to live. God's got something better for you. God's got treasures for you in heaven if you'll get your eyes off of the treasures down here. Amen. God's got a bride for you. Amen. The bride of Christ. Praise God. But when we come to those treasures, then we've got to recognize the value of them. And so David and Solomon, they were very quick to appoint men, true men, over those treasures. In 1 Chronicles chapter 26, we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 26 and several quick verses there. In verse 20, it says, amen, there were Levites over the treasures of house of God, over the treasures of the dedicated things. In verse 22, there were the sons of Jehleiah and Zetham and Joel, his brother. They were over the treasures of the house of the Lord. There's Jebuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses. Moses' grandson was the ruler of the treasures. And in verse 26, there's Shelomith and his brothers. They're over all the treasures of the dedicated things, which David the king and the chief fathers had dedicated. In verse 28, and all the Samuel the seer and Saul and others had dedicated, and whosoever had dedicated anything, it was under the hand of Shelomith and his brother. Praise God. And on it goes in chapter 27, and in verse 25, we read, and over the king's treasures was Asmaveth, the son of Adiel, and on and on. And he was over the fields and the cities and the villages and the castles. There were people over the fields and the work, people over the vineyards, people over the olive and the sycamore, people over the herds, people over the camels. These were people who were guarding the treasures. These were not just servants, they were stewards. And so are you just going to come here and sit in church and be blessed? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Bless my heart. Let's all have a heart blessing service. No, let's be blessed and then let's do something with the blessing. Let's receive the treasure and then realize that treasure is a blessing for us to bless other people. Let's receive the treasure and we've got to recognize the value of that treasure and we've got to be stewards of that which God has given to us. That's why a man of God who comes to this pulpit recognizes the importance and the value of the Word of God. When I come to a church like Calvary Gospel, I want to do better in your church than I would in my church because you have treasures here. You have value here. You've paid the price. You've pushed back the enemy. You've fought the battles, praise God. And God has given you past and present men and women to guard over these treasures. Well, I'm not a prison guard. I never was a Marine. How can I do that? You just have to realize there's a place for you in the kingdom. Lucibara was here today, and it was about 13 years ago that we were with him and his wife and their congregation in Kingston, New York, as they dedicated a church building rented to the Lord. We had just come in from overseas. And Barrows weren't even living in Kingston at the time. Two other pastors had tried to do something in Kingston and it just wasn't working. And Lewis, the foreigner, comes in, starts doing something, starts reaching out to internationals and Americans and all kinds of stripes and colors and whatnot, and just giving all he's got. And so we went up there on a Friday and went to the motel on a Friday, and on Saturday, amen, we had the dedication service, and District Superintendent Robinson was down there. And on Saturday night, I told the vision where God had showed me a great tower coming down. On Sunday, we had church, and on Monday, we flew out because the Barrows weren't there, so we didn't have any time to sightsee, and exhausted on Tuesday morning, I'm still sleeping in. When my mother comes and says, Alan, you need to come see this. And she was watching CNN. Don't know if they had Fox News in those days or not. And I come groggily out of the bedroom in my parents' house. And there I see a plane hitting a tower. And then I see a second one. The first one was a relay, a repeat. The second one was perhaps live. But I didn't know that at that very time, Flight 93 had taken off from Newark, New Jersey. I didn't know that it was on its way over Cleveland, headed for San Francisco. I didn't know who was on that plane. I didn't know that Todd Beamer was on that plane, who could have gone, you know, the night before, but he stayed and went this morning on his way to work. He traveled at least 4 or 5 times a month. I didn't know that Todd Beamer had been raised with Christian values. I'd never heard of Todd Beamer. I didn't know he was a good member of the Christian Missionary Alliance. But then as they realize that their plane is now being hijacked, and as some of the people in the plane are talking to their relatives, and they find out the tower number one has been attacked, the south tower has been attacked, and the south tower goes down, and this is all happening in less than 1 hour. And as Todd and the others on the plane hear what's happening, they realize their plane is no longer heading west, but has turned sharply around, and it's headed around. And seemingly, very likely, very probably, this plane is heading to Washington, D.C., to the Capitol, or to the White House. Now you can sit there and say, it's not my job. You can sit there and say, I'm not an air marshal. You can sit there and say, well, let somebody else take care of it. Or you can step up and say, somebody's got to do something. you can step up like Ruth and say, I don't know where we're going, but where we're going, I want to go. Amen. I want to do the work of God. I want to step up. Esther can hear the words of her uncle. For such a time as this, you are here in the kingdom of God. And when the devil is taking our treasures, when the devil is attacking the church, when the enemy is coming like a black cloud, amen, somebody's got to stand up and say, I'll stand up for Jesus. I'll do something for the Lord, because the church is the mother of us all, and there are treasures in the church. My children are in this church, and I know the value of what I have. I know the wisdom of God. I know the word of God. I know how important salvation is. And you're going to say, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight the devil. And as he made one last call, he got Lisa Jefferson. And as he's talking to her, he then, with the other, some of the other people on the plane with him, he said Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer. And then he said the final words, okay, let's roll. Just normal, everyday, average people who said there's something that we can do. And what we have to do is too big for Bishop Grant alone. It's too big for Pastor Roy Grant alone. It's too big for just the other leaders of the church and the Sunday school teachers. We are living in a day when the devil is attacking us with everything he's got. You see, why is ISIS, ISIL, whatever they want to call it, so productive right now and so attacking right now? I'll tell you why. Because God is getting ready for an end time revival that will reach into the Muslim world and will bring people out of the Middle East to New Testament salvation, to believe who Jesus is and know that he is Lord and Christ, praise God. And it's already happening. We just don't know about it. But God is ready to do some things. I remember, Brother Brown, being in Bonholder and meeting my first Southern Baptist and encountering eternal security and predestination for the first time. And I've been reading them, and I've been following them with all of their anti-Pentecost, anti-tongues. But God is getting ready to do a new thing. And I haven't had time to read it, but I've had several reports on Facebook in the last 3 days that the Southern Baptists are now just putting up their hands and saying, we're not going to fight it anymore. And if some of y'all want to talk in tongues, you go ahead. Praise God. When the Baptists are giving up to the Holy Ghost, friend, that's our day. That's our hour. We've got a work to do for God. And we've got to realize what we have, others are wanting. Others are needing, and we've got to guard what we have. We got to teach what we have. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. Treasure, treasure. As we talk today, the knowledge of Jesus Christ is a treasure. 2 Corinthians, amen, chapter 4, I believe it is a treasure. One of my favorite verses, amen. 2 Corinthians, the Holy Ghost is a treasure. The Spirit of God is a treasure. God in you, that's a treasure. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Don't hide it. Be stewards of it. Guard the treasure and then take the treasure out there. Verse 4, the god of this world has blinded the minds. This is what the devil thinks of our treasure. He's so afraid of it, he's blinding people who aren't even saved. He's blinding people who haven't even come to our churches yet. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light. He's afraid of the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is our treasure, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Want to know who Jesus is? Just read that. And then verse 5 says, for we preach not our ourselves. We preach the treasure. We preach Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, we're just servants. We're just guarding the treasure for Jesus' sake. Verse 6 says, then, in God who commands the light to shine out of darkness, this is what he did for us. He shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where's the glory of God? In the face of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 7 continues, but we in the church, we who believe in Jesus Christ, we who have had our sins forgiven, we who have expressed faith to him, who have come to his old rugged cross, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There is a treasure. We know what the treasure is. It's several wonderful things. But somebody's got to guard the treasure. And so for those who have not yet received, we shared this morning, there's a treasure that you can find. But you may have to give up your past to get your future. As we said this morning, maybe you're looking for something, and then you find that pearl of great price, of more value than you ever imagined. You couldn't believe it, how big that is. And you just said to the fellow, hey, I'm coming back. Don't sell this to anybody else. I realize this is valuable, and I may have to borrow from Uncle Harry, and I may have to borrow on my mortgage, and I may have to go out and dig up some coins hidden in the field. But I recognize the value of the treasure. It's there to get. And then when we get it, saints, elders, leaders, we got to guard it. We can't compromise now. We can't give up the knowledge of the truth. We have to realize that our purity, our holiness, and our righteousness is a treasure. We don't want to give it up. What you saw here today, maybe some of you are not familiar with it. Worship, Pentecostal worship. Amen. Nobody was pulling any strings. There were no marionettes here. There were no puppers here. Nobody was saying, now when Brother Demas puts his hand on you, you just fall down. Folks, that happened one time before. It wasn't planned. It's old-time apostolic one God worship. That's a treasure. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to get rid of it. We've got to hang on to it. Praise God. We've got to guard the treasures. We've got to guard the treasures. I want you to stand up tonight. Stand up tonight. If you need a treasure, if you don't have the treasure, I want you to come. If you already know the value of the treasure, you're in the church, you're in the body of Christ, I want you to come and say, God, I want to be a guard for Jesus. I want to be a steward for Jesus. I want to be a prison guard. Amen. We're going to guard the people and bring them out of prison and make the captives free and set them free. Let's come and find our place in God tonight in Jesus' precious name. Let's all praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We come, we come, we come. You know what we need. You know where we are. You know what our needs are. Hallelujah. You know every step that we take. You know what step we are, what level we're on in relationship to you. And oh God, we want to go deeper. We want to go higher. We want to do more. Amen. We don't want to be just servants. We want to be stewards of the kingdom. We want to have the treasure, and then we got to guard the treasure, because oh God, we are guarding the church of tomorrow. We're guarding the church for our children and our grandchildren. In Jesus' name, would you come right now and reach out to the Lord in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Pray for somebody right now. Pray for somebody right now. Maybe you know them. Maybe you don't. Reach out to them. Amen. Help them to find their place in God. Whatever they need in God. Oh God, maybe they need the Holy Ghost. Maybe they need to know what sin has been forgiven in their life. Hallelujah. Maybe they need to just find faith in Jesus Christ. Help them and pray for them. And bless them, we pray in Jesus.
Of heaven, let it. gates of heaven. Let it rain.
You need a healing in your body tonight. Won't you come up to the to your left up here? There'll be ministers that pray with you.
Open the
Hallelujah. If you need the gift of the Holy Ghost or never been baptized, come up here specifically to the right. Hallelujah. We have folks who will pray with you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, let it rain in our lives.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. We feel the winds of your love. We feel the winds of your spirit.
Let's answer the call tonight.
Heaven, let us
the call to be a guardian of the treasure.
Hear.